Welcome to the CBS This Morning podcast. I'm Anne Marie Green of CBS Morning News and CBSN anchor. By 2050, it's projected that 83.7 million people will be over the age of 65. That's double the current number of senior citizens. And you know, with the increase in longevity, a lot of us are going to find that we become caretakers for our parents and loved ones. They're simply living longer and they need the assistance. So this book is part how-to and part memoir. It's called My Parents' Keeper: The Guilt, Grief, Guesswork, and Unexpected Gifts of Caregiving. It offers inspirational stories and advice for caring for aging and ailing family members. And the book's author, Jody Gastfriend, has been a social worker for more than 30 years and serves as Vice President of Senior Care for Care.com. That's the world's largest online marketplace for finding and managing family care. And she joins me now. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Anne-Marie. It's a pleasure to be here.
So 30 years of experience under your belt. When you decided to write a book, who were you thinking would be the audience? Who's this book for?
Well, this book is really for the 40-plus million family caregivers in the United States. And those are the unpaid family members who are taking care of their parents, their grandparents, their spouses, or partners. And 80% of them don't even identify as family caregivers. They're learning this stuff as they go along.
Right.
And what happens is people make a lot of mistakes, or they don't realize their options. They don't know how to pay for care. They don't know how to find care. And the inspiration for writing this book was based on working with those family caregivers for 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. But also, I myself was a family caregiver when my dad was diagnosed with dementia, which he struggled with for 12 years. Mm-hmm. So then I realized firsthand what some of the challenges are that people go through.
So even though you had spent 30 years helping other families go through this sort of thing, were there things that even surprised you when you were faced with it in your own personal life?
There were, and that's the title of the book. So the first thing is the guilt, which is sort of the constant companion of family caregivers. You feel that you should always be doing more, mm-hmm. and yet there's only so much you can do. And I felt that. I was a long-distance caregiver, and about 15% of people are. They live an hour or more from their family members, and I was also what is now called a sandwich generation caregiver. Three kids, school age. My husband was traveling at a full-time job. And I was really stressed out. But I kept telling myself, you got to do this. You got to do this. And I kept pushing myself. And I wasn't so good at taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. That was another surprise. And one of the things that people forget about is, hey, you got to focus on your own needs too.
Yeah, that's so true. The book sort of addresses a number of different areas, right? The challenges when it comes to your emotions, you mentioned the guilt, logistical challenges, physical challenges, financial challenges. What are some of the areas that people forget to think about? You know, they might focus on finances, and because that's one thing you think about, how much it's going to cost me, but then don't take into account the guilt. Or I don't know what you meant by physical, but I think about my own husband and when he was caring for his mother who had a brain tumor, and it came to a point where he needed to be the one physically moving her to the bathroom, changing her bed, getting her into the shower. And I thought to myself, if he wasn't physically strong, I don't know who would have done this. So what are some of the areas that people just gap on until it's hitting them right in the face?
Well, you bring up a really important point. So 25 years ago, I ran a Medicare certified home care agency. Also, people know that as a VNA. And it wasn't so common for families to do the kinds of medically related complex tasks that you just described. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's wound care, medication management, or incontinence care. Nowadays, the majority of families are doing that because people are just not staying in the hospital that long, and they get discharged with all these instructions, and families are really overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. And in fact, hospitals are recognizing that more, and there is something called the CARE Act, which requires that hospitals really teach family caregivers how to do all these things. And there's also the cost of long-term care. Many people have sticker shock, mm-hmm. and they don't realize that if if they're a parent like my dad who has dementia, guess what? Medicare is not going to pay for home care. And the average cost of a paid caregiver is over $20 an hour and significantly more in some areas. And maybe they or their parents haven't planned for that. And there's a lot of family challenges. We can come up with fantastic plans for our parents. And guess what? Maybe your parents will say, thanks, but no thanks. So this is not a decision that you make in isolation.
Right.
The decision maker most often is the parent themselves.
Right.
So this is a really collaborative process, also involving siblings who may not be on the same page. And that's why having some roadmap ahead of time really can make a big difference.
Yeah, I mean, and it would be understandable if a parent, after living in a home for 20, 30 years, wouldn't want to move in with his or her children. And, you know, often what happens too, what I've seen, and you can probably talk a little bit about this when you talk about family dynamics and siblings, is that the sibling that's physically closer ends up really carrying the weight. And I presume, and you can tell me if you've seen it, resentments can build up.
That's what happens. Now, 60% of family caregivers are women, but men are also taking on a lot of responsibilities, mm-hmm. as you describe with your husband. Mm-hmm. The primary caregiver more often is the daughter who lives nearby. And the average caregiver is a 49-year-old woman who spends about 20 hours a week in caregiving duties.
It's a part-time job.
And guess what? She's also in the workplace,
right.
And she has children of her own. Now, caregivers come in all shapes and sizes. But that already, just that description, that's overwhelming. So it's so important to be able to reach out for help and know where to find that help.
Do you think there is enough support out there for, you know, the family caregiver? I mean, you mentioned that hospitals are sort of now mandated to make sure that that families know what their responsibilities are. But, you know, it's one thing to know when to give a pill and to give it with food. It's another thing, like you said, to deal with a parent who doesn't want that sandwich that you're giving them right now, or doesn't want to move in with you. And do you think there's enough in terms of emotional support?
I think there's more now than when I was going through it. And even the term family caregiver wasn't really talked about 25 years ago. A big challenge for so many people is that the majority of family caregivers are in the workplace. And many don't want to identify themselves as struggling to take care of a parent or family member. And 70% experience some type of workplace disruption. I certainly did when I was caring for my dad. I had to rearrange my schedule. I had to take some days off. I was fortunate to have an understanding employer. But many people don't even want to bring this up. And what I have really devoted my career to in the past 15 years is something called employer-supported elder care. And more companies are waking up to the realization that they've got a lot of caregiving employees, and childcare is one end of the spectrum, but senior care is a growing piece of that. And
what does that look like? Ideally, how would a workplace respond for you?
Well, for example, Care.com has a Care at Work program, and we provide a whole suite of benefits. We have everything from a program that I created called Senior Care Planning, where we have experts helping employees. We give them all the information. We come up with written plans. We provide the emotional support. Some families we've worked with for years. And we really are that expert guide to help people through all the twists and turns of caregiving. We have backup care. So maybe you're living in Manhattan, but your mom is living in Delray Beach, Florida, and she needs some temporary in-home care. Employers are subsidizing that care for a temporary period of time. There's actually a whole range of benefits. And in some cases, people just really need time. They just can't do it all at once. Yeah. So there's something called an FMLA, family medical leave, where they can take up to 3 months of time. And in some states, that time is going to be partially paid through a state-funded program. And some employers are also helping with that. And this is all fairly recent. Yeah. I'm very encouraged by that. But as I mentioned before, since most people don't identify themselves as family caregivers, they think, well, I'm just being a good daughter. I'm just making sure my dad's taking the right medication or checking on my mom. They may not proactively reach out for help.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about your dad and his struggle with dementia. I've read a few stories about siblings and kids who find themselves in a terrible predicament when their parents begin to lose their memory and they haven't set things up financially. Mm-hmm. They don't know how the bills are paid. They don't know where the will is. So these are the sort of conversations that you really need to bring up long before there are challenges, but it's super uncomfortable and awkward. Do you have any advice?
Money is one of those conversations that people avoid, often to their own detriment. Yeah. And paying for long-term care in the United States is complicated because we don't have a system that funds it. People either need to have their own funds mm-hmm. or purchase long-term care insurance.
And often what does happen too is you're under stress, your parent needs to be in some sort of long-term care facility, and they're asking you to sign documents, and it's not, you know, it has happened where people may sign over their home and they don't realize it, that as part of the collateral is the home that you thought was going to be part of your inheritance.
And this is why it's so important to plan ahead. So some people are eligible for Medicaid, different from Medicare, and that's for people who are considered indigent. But you typically have to plan way ahead, up to 5 years, if you're going to transfer assets. And it's important to speak to an elder law attorney or an estate planner who really understands the laws in the state where you're parent or family member resides. Mm. And people who do that ultimately have better options. In my dad's case, he had dementia for 12 years. 6 of those years, he was in a nursing home. And after 3 years in the first nursing home, which cost about $90,000 a year and would be significantly more now, my mom got really worried because we were running out of money. And we had put my dad on a list at a veterans facility since he was a veteran. And he did get a bed there. And the difference in cost was $9,000 a month versus $900 a month.
Wow.
But people have to know about that resource. And many people will overlook that. And this is, again, knowing options ahead of time, understanding the landscape, researching how to pay for care, really can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to sort of the emotional landmines, because you can't even have these conversations about finances if you don't have a healthy relationship with your parents. And sometimes the relationships that we have with our parents are complicated. Any advice for someone who finds that they are now caring for a parent that they had a terrible relationship with, a parent that they didn't think was supportive of them, and now they're required to be supportive of that parent?
This is one of the thorniest and most difficult issues, and I devote an entire chapter to caring for the parent who didn't care for you. And in one case, I tell the story of a woman whose father was emotionally, physically, and sexually abusive to her.
Wow.
And it was her choice to assume a caregiver role with him, but she did it with certain limitations. And she didn't do that with the expectation that she was going to repair the damage that was done to her. That was not an achievable goal. Mm-hmm. She really did it for her own sake, to be able to address some of the hurt and pain that she experienced and have some perspective on it. And in the book, there's really no judgment. Some people cannot assume that role. It's just too toxic. And what they did is they got other people to help, either friends or neighbors or other family members. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal decision. But there are resources out there in the community. One is called the Triple A's, the Area Agencies on Aging. People also don't typically know about them. And that is a good resource, especially for family caregivers who aren't able to take on the primary role themselves and need to know, what are the community resources that might help? You can go to the eldercare.gov website, type in the zip code where your family member lives. There's a phone number. Call them. It's free. A lot of really good information there.
You know, I think when people think about this time in life, it's sad. You certainly don't want to think about your parents getting old, becoming dependent, becoming weaker when they were the strong ones in your life. I know in watching my husband, I observed something really interesting. What was a tremendously hard job for him and emotionally challenging was also a way for him to say thank you to his mm-hmm. mother. And I remember at one point saying, you know, I'm glad that she's here because this service is preparing us for passing away, and in a way that we feel good, we're giving back. And I wonder if you've spoken to people that even after the emotional angst and the physical work and the financial stress, felt good about having that option to care for their parent to the very end.
Yes, and I interviewed about 50 family caregivers with a broad range of experience in terms of where they live, their socioeconomic status, cultural issues, really wanted to get a range. And that was a common theme, the unexpected gifts of caregiving. Mm-hmm. And AARP recently came out with a study that showed that 90% of family caregivers experience more positive emotions than negative emotions around caregiving. But much more is focused on the burdens of caregiving. And I address that in my book because there are many and one doesn't want to minimize them. And having a plan to address those burdens makes a difference. Mm-hmm. But much less attention is paid to the benefits. And I have to say, I was really moved by so many of the stories of what people told me. And maybe 5 or 10 years after a parent passed away, there were still tears. And, you know, I remember when my mom recently turned 89 and we gave toasts and my brother said, "Mom, you're the voice inside my head." And I think all of us feel our parents are the voice inside our heads. And sometimes we struggle with that voice, but it's a very profound connection. It's the first relationships we have had in our lives. And many people said they felt so gratified to be able to give back. And they also learned something that I think is a virtue that doesn't get enough attention, patience. I can tell you with my dad, there were many unexpected gifts. I never thought I would say that. I mean, the profound sadness of seeing my father, who was so brilliant and knew so much, not being able to remember what he had for breakfast was very painful. On the other hand, when we visited him, we were living in that moment. There was humor, there was connection, there was love. And one thing I really want to convey to people that even with a devastating illness, the ability to give and receive love is not extinguished. And that's so important, especially if you have a family member with dementia. Stay connected, express your love, and you may be surprised how much you get back.
Oh, I absolutely love it. The book is called My Parents' Keeper, The Guilt, The Grief, The Guesswork, and The Unexpected Gifts of Caregiving. This will be your guide through a very challenging time in life. Should you find yourself taking care of a loved one at the end of their life? Great conversation, yeah. Jody Gasfriend. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.